Blog Talk Radio.
Wake up! It's time for Just Chicago's Neighborhood Talk with Clifton Pierce. A Canon Media and Axe Entertainment Artists, Inc. production.
Are you experiencing hair thinning at the hairline or balding edges?
Wake up! It's time for Just Chicago's Neighborhood Talk with Clifton Pierce. A Canon Media and Axe Entertainment Artists, Inc. production.
Good evening. This is your girl, Kim DiLucci, a.k.a. also known as Candace Carey, tuning in live from Miami, Florida. You are listening to Justice Chicago. You're in the place to be. I hope everyone has enjoyed their Sunday evening. I tell you, we got a very awesome lineup of people that are on the show this evening with us tonight. And not to hold this introduction up any further, I would like to introduce the man of the hour, the man with the plan, Clifton Pierce. How are you?
Hey, let's give me a round of applause. Hey, Candace, how you doing?
I'm just doing a countdown for you. So, welcome.
I ain't mad at you.
What's going on?
I'm good. What's the temperature there in Florida?
I tell you. You know, it's nice, actually. It's a little frosty outside. It's nice weather for a little sweater, windbreaker. I really don't know, but if I had to guess, it feels like it's 75.
Are you kidding?
I'm not.
Are you kidding?
Yeah.
Okay, and you're talking about coming up here next month. I hope you got a winter coat. Otherwise, I'm gonna take you shopping.
Well, I'll hold you to that. I do have some coats with me. That I'm about to go in Chicago.
Okay. Hey, listen, we got quite a lineup tonight, quite a show. You know, I want to say, Candace, that when we started this thing in August, I had no idea that our show would get as big as it's gotten, okay? Mm-hmm. And we've had some fantastic people on the show, and we had some fantastic topics we talked about. And last week, Doc wasn't with us. I don't know if he's with us tonight. And Doc, are you there again? Okay, Doc had told me.
Doc, if you can hear, press one. All of our guests that are scheduled to speak tonight, please press one of your dial tones for me.
Okay. And what she's saying, anybody that's a guest on the show, punch one. So, another man of the hour, I want to see if Sam Chapman is there.
Sam Chapman, are you here? Roll call. Press one of your dial tones, please. Keep going. I mean, we have three lines open. Here's another one. Okay, Sam, Doc, and Sam Chapman. Welcome if you want to.
Okay, then we got Dave. Is Dave there?
Hello. I'm here, sir.
Who is
all
that?
All right.
This is David Rich.
Ah.
I say, who am I? Who is that?
David Rich. David Rich is one of our moderators for Collective Sessions. He's also
okay. We're going to talk. We're going to talk to Dave in depth. And what about Ed? Is Ed there?
Ed,
yeah, I'm here.
Okay. Yes. Ed is also a panelist from Collective Sessions. We just
okay.
And also a guest. Yes.
Okay, what about our guy from Smith, Trust Me Vodka? Did he come on board? Were you able to reach him?
They're getting ready for the grand opening event in Chicago. They do send their well wishes, and they expect to see all of us in person at the grand opening in a few weeks.
Okay, we're going to talk tonight about quite a few things. One of them, I want to do a shout-out to a friend of mine, her name is Dolores. She's in a club that I'm in, and that club is a parent who has lost a child. It's a terrible club to be in, and I want to do a shout-out to, we called her Rita J, but that's the Johnson family. We had a young guy this past weekend that just went crazy shooting people, and Rita J's daughter was working at the door in Hyde Park, and the man just came in and shot her dead. Okay, and this girl was a beautiful girl. We loved her. Okay, she was behind us. You know, me and her mother, we ran in a crew, and so she was behind us. She was the second generation. And when she walked in the room, everybody just lit up because they were so crazy about her. And this guy senselessly came in and killed her. So some of these steppers that may be listening tonight, I want to let them know that the funeral is set for this coming Saturday on 93rd in Cottage Grove. This is for, we call the Miss Sue. And so that's going to be at 12 o'clock this Saturday at the church there, St. John's, I believe it is, 93rd and Cottage Grove. I know it's going to be a big turnout. And the bottom line is that that's a terrible club to be in, to be a parent and lose a child. You know, they supposed to bury us. We're not supposed to bury them. And I've had so many people that have reached out for me because I had a thing where I had two daughters, and both my daughters had to check in every Sunday. You know, just check in. We didn't have to talk. I said, what you doing? She said, I'm just checking in. I said, okay, goodbye. So Sunday's been a bad day for me for the last 2 years because I knew that my daughter wouldn't be calling me. And this show has been a medicine for me, you know, that I can occupy my time like that. Because you go in a dark hole and it's not easy and it's not over, you know, it's not over. And then I think about all the killings that have been going on in Chicago. We're averaging 600 people a year. And I just say for the last 3 years, we've been averaging 600 people murdered in the city. Out of those 600, I would say 500 of them are young black boys. Okay, so in the course of 3 years, that's 1,500 black boys who ordinarily might be fathers that we have lost. We're wiping out our generation, you know, and we just got to do something about that. That's one of the reasons why I'm pushing for LaShawn Ford to run for mayor of Chicago. I was with Lori Lightfoot when she was first starting to running. I took her out to a stepper set where on Wednesday night they got 700 people in there, and they just couldn't believe 700 people being there dancing at 6 o'clock in the evening. I took her, I took her opponent out there and let them see, and she made promises to me that she is not kept. Okay, and when I say any promises to me, it's promises to my people. And right now, my people are struggling. We have a problem, you know, and a lot of it has to do with unemployment. We need jobs. We need jobs for these kids. We need something for them to look forward to. We need vocational training more than anything. So it's a little hard to run around laughing and grinning when we're losing so many of our young boys, you know. So I'm very dedicated to that, and I'm just asking everybody to roll your sleeves up and see what we can do to stop this pandemic. It's a pandemic on us. And while we're talking about this here, I want to talk about that White House. I actually saw more footage today. Those people are enraged. They are enraged. They are highly dangerous and highly suspect. Right here in the state of Illinois, they found police officers, firemen, a mayor in the suburbs. They were all there storming the Capitol. Storming the Capitol, and they weren't there just to break the windows out. They were there to kidnap and kill congresspeople, Nancy Pelosi, the vice president. Those people are dangerous. Those people are dangerous, okay? Then we got a situation here. That's what Dave and Ed, we're going to talk about and see what happens on the other side of a situation. We know about the black hand side. I want to hear about the other side as far as things like reparations. Thinking about the fact that we got a new speaker of the house. Let me tell you another story. Graduated from high school 50-something years ago. And this one guy, he became a dope fiend right after we graduated. I saw him last week, 50 years later. He's still a dope fiend. And every time I see him, we at somebody's funeral. And I remember always everybody telling me, I'm going to his funeral. He's been going to all of them funerals. He's still here. He's still here. So something he's doing must be right. And I say all that to say that Mike Madigan was 40 years. He was a Speaker of the House here in Illinois. Speaker of the House. The most powerful position in the state of Illinois. Speaker of the House. Okay, and now we got a young black man who has taken that position. All contracts come across his desk. All contracts come across his desk. And I'm saying, before y'all want to pour salt on Madigan, learn and see what did he do. Be able to stay there for 40 years and wield that kind of power. So these are some of the things I want to talk about tonight And I'm going to start off with you, Dave. Dave, introduce yourself, would you?
How you doing? Thanks for having me on. My name is David Rich. I know Candace and Alia from the joint sessions before this show on Sundays. I also have my own radio show on 98.3 FM, WRLR.
Well, Dave, first of all, Dave, tell him you're a white boy now, so let him know that.
Okay, I'm white.
Okay, now let's roll. Let's roll.
My family's from Italy. Nothing
okay,
I can do about
cool.
that.
Okay.
Yeah.
So come on with it now.
So Mike Madigan. Yeah, Mike Madigan. You're right. I mean, the Speaker of the House, whether it be federal or statewide, is the most powerful position you can have. Some argue that the federal state Speaker of the House, like Nancy Pelosi, has more power than the president. The reason
I'm going to interrupt you right there. Nancy Pelosi is the most powerful person in the state of Illinois. I mean, it's the United States of America. Yes, she is. So I agree with you on that. Absolutely.
Yeah, because the Speaker of the House literally sets the agenda for all of Congress. Whatever they introduce to the Congress are the only things that Congress is allowed to discuss and therefore possibly vote on. If she doesn't bring it to the floor, it doesn't happen. That's extremely powerful control of information and potential legislation. So 40 years of holding that office. Look, Mike Madigan did a lot of good things for Illinois. There's no doubt. But, man, power corrupts, and 40 years is an awful long time. You know, we had FDR who had 16 years of a presidential term, and they all of a sudden amended the Constitution. We're like, you only get two terms because that's just too much time to accrue way too much power for one office or one person. So I think it's about time that he left. You know, I will say I think he did a lot of good things, but not everything good.
Okay. That's it. Okay. Now, are you saying that you're an advocate that they should have limited terms in office?
Every political office should have term limits, every single one.
Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah, let's hear about you now. What you got to say?
Well, I'm kind of the ilk.
Tell them you're a white boy now. Tell them you're a white boy. That's interesting.
Yeah,
that's the most important.
I'm a white boy.
Okay, now where you live at? Hey,
come on. These are our guests.
I'm not trying to beat them up. Listen, our program is about the truth. It ain't about no beating nobody up. Our program is all about the truth. Now, where you live at? What part of Chicago you live?
Northwest Side.
Northwest Side. Is it an integrated area? Okay. Can you tell me your
ethnicity? In my building, there's other ethnicities in my building even. And
okay, I mean, is it United Nations building?
No.
Okay. Now, where'd you go to high school? Where'd you go to high school and what kind of work you do?
I do. I've had every type of business you could imagine. And right now I have legal services for indigent people. I have a tax business. And I have I'm a managing broker in real estate. But I've had mortgage company, insurance brokerage, investment broker dealer, you name it, I've done it.
Okay, now where'd you go to high school?
Bremen on the down in Midlothian, down in the south suburbs.
Midlothian, I'm familiar with Midlothian. Okay, all right. Now let me ask you this: how do you feel about let's start with reparations? What is your take on that?
Oh, I was already ready to bust up on Madigan and the. And the rest.
Okay. Well, we're going to get back to Madigan, yeah.
Mm-hmm. On reparations, it's you know, plain and simple. When slave owners who took advantage of slave labor got reparations for losing their slaves, that's, I mean, how the hell do you justify that? But they did it. Then we made Germany pay reparations to Israel, a country that didn't even exist during World War II. So, I mean, and I'm not saying they shouldn't do it. I'm saying that if that's what the world negotiates, that's what the world negotiates. But if you can justify and say, yes, they should, well, then why shouldn't you if it comes back on you? And I like to look at the reparations issue more from a I want to show the right wing. And I'm not right wing or left wing, but I want to show the right wing the thinking on this issue because it smokes even the right wing. the right wing argue that they don't want the estate tax. Now, most people don't pay the estate tax because the limit is so high up anyway. However, they argue that the death tax is unfair because you're taking away my labor that I've already paid tax on that I should be able to pass to my kids.
Mm-hmm,
okay,
mm-hmm.
You want to make an argument like that? Well, then the children of slaves, shouldn't they get the fruits of their ancestors' labor? Yeah.
Okay, well, let me ask you a question.
They helped build the country. They helped build the country, so something should go to them.
Okay, but my question here to you is that when you say reparations, especially by you being in the real estate world, what do you mean? Are you going to give us a piece of land? Are you going to give us our 40 acres and a mule? Are you going to give us actual cash money? What would you suggest on that?
I would suggest that your access to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness be extended. In other words, there's many things that might suit many people and some things won't suit others. For example, I could say, how would you like 10 acres of land out in the west suburbs? You might say yes, but other mm-hmm. people that are the descendants of slaves, they wouldn't want that 10 acres of land. They don't want what you want.
Mm-hmm.
So each person may have different needs, and that's what we have to look into. Some people.
Now, that calls for a lot of work. That calls for a lot of work.
So what? It ain't worth it?
Yes,
are you
is.
Saying it ain't mm-hmm. worth it? Are you saying
no,
that
I'm
we
just,
aren't? Are you saying that our country shouldn't be the example, the best example, like it used to be a long time ago? You don't think we should set an example for the world?
Well, the example that we saw last week to the world frightens me to death. I never thought in my life I would see that. I never thought.
Nobody,
first of all, let me say this
nobody
here.
Works
I love
now.
My country.
Nobody does that.
I love the United States of America. I love the state of Mississippi where I come from. I love my people. And then I love the city I live in. Chicago is a fantastic city that I truly love. And you can make it here in our city. My question is just how do we advocate for reparations? How do we do it? How do we come at it? And who qualifies?
Well, it's going to take, and luckily we have the same tool that is being used against us. We can use for us. The internet, we can not only educate but spread information fast.
Mm-hmm.
We never had such a source like that back in Martin Luther King's days, Mahatma Gandhi's days. Look at Arab Spring, how fast that spread. They couldn't even stop it because of the internet. Now, would they have wanted to stop it? Yes. But it's too fast. It's with the speed of light, and news is everywhere, like these flash mobs that come out of anything. Well, the same thing we have to do here. People need to be educated of what is what. They need to get shocked. They need their brains shocked by information. Some information to show them. No, even more than that. For example, we should have a class or at least something on the internet that tells all the dirty deeds, like that we were lied into the Vietnam War. Everybody knows mm-hmm. we were lied into Iraq and Afghanistan. Do they know that we were lied into the Vietnam War? And if we were lied into that war, what else are we being lied to? So it's the mm-hmm. same thing with everything, even the issue of reparations. No, I didn't have no slaves. No, they know who did have the slaves, though. And they can go after those families, too, can be paying for this.
Are you familiar with Alderman Dorothy Tillman?
I've seen, you know, some of her work, and I've heard
of
her.
She was Alderman.
I don't know her personally,
though. Yeah, she was Alderman in the Third Ward, and she sent her daughter to Washington to do an expose on who and what companies what companies actually owned slaves back in the day. And she got legislation passed while she was the alderman where if you had slaves back in the day, you couldn't do business with the city of Chicago.
Right.
Okay. So,
they know
so
who
that
did.
Was a big move.
They knew the Chase family did. They know even Washington had them. Jefferson had them. They know people who had them.
Mm-hmm.
There's records. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying that those – and back then, those people thought – it was okay because it's legal. Just like now more people smoke marijuana just because it's legal. So mm-hmm. a lot of people said, well, seeing as it's legal, I can have me a slave.
Okay.
Maybe mm-hmm. they didn't all have the worst of intentions, but they were all still wrong.
Okay, let me hold you right there for a minute. Let's go back to Ed for a minute. Ed, what do you got to say about reparations?
I agree 100%. We talked a lot about reparations. I've talked about it on my radio show before. I think it's a good thing. I think it should be done for a lot of the reasons that Ed just stated. I think that, since slaves were considered, commodities at the time, there are transaction statements, receipts, and that kind of thing that you can discover. Local records, you can figure out at least a lot, if not all, of who owned slaves and what the lineage of people, the people who exist nowadays who can trace their ancestry back to slaves. You can probably figure out a lot of that. So I don't want to hear the excuse that it's not plausible, it's not practical, you can't do that, because you can very easily do it. And like Ed said, we forced Germany to do it. We gave reparations and land to the Native Americans. We gave reparations to the Japanese people that we put into internment camps in World War II. But for slavery, not a nickel. For some reason, it's just this blind spot in the American lens, and I don't know why. So, I'm very much for it, absolutely. I'd like to see it happen. I think one of the ways we can do it is I think that the people like us, people outside of the government, citizens, need to start writing up petitions, proposals, stuff like that, and send it to our local Congress people and say, hey, look at this. We want reparations to occur. Because hopefully they'll listen and then that will get it forward. Because the only way it's going to happen is if the government does it, so.
Okay. Well, I personally think it'll bring peace to the world. But, let's go back to Dave and your situation with Mike Madigan. What do you want to tell me about Mike Madigan? How you feel about that?
Ed?
I think you met Ed, right?
Yeah. Ed.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, I personally – can you hear me?
Yeah. Are we with you?
Okay. Sorry, I didn't know if I was muted myself by accident.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. I personally believe – you can say, well, there was no charges or whatever. I personally believe Madigan and his family are a bunch of criminals. And I'm not saying that because they're Democrat, because I like a lot of Democrats too. I like a lot of Republicans too. I don't care, but I hate both parties. I think both parties are corrupt. And because Madigan was in the office so long, he did lots of dirty deeds. You can't mm-hmm. be in those positions without being kind of having your hands tied. Sometimes you have to do them if you're in political positions that are like that, because you've gotten so much donations and gotten so many favors. And that's why term limits are needed, so that people aren't in more than a couple terms, so that they're getting overly influenced.
How do you feel about the new Speaker of the House, he being a black man?
It doesn't matter what he is. I don't know enough about him right now. I really don't. But mm-hmm. so I can't say if I think he's good or bad, because mm-hmm. I really don't know. In fact, when you just said his name, honestly, is the first time I've heard his name, because I'm not really paying attention to that. But do I think that he should be given a chance? Well, if he got elected by the people, I think so. But I think mm-hmm. Madigan needed to go.
Mm-hmm. That's what it's changed. There's nothing else. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. No. I am really highly against when leaders commit crimes. There was a princess mm-hmm. one time in Saudi Arabia that supposedly committed adultery. Mm-hmm. And the penalty for adultery at that time, maybe still now, was beheading. But because she was a princess, the king offered her a lower penalty. Now, according to the Quran, it's not automatically death penalty, but because there's forgiveness and stuff like that that could come in. But they were a very fundamentalist regime, so it was supposed to be the death penalty. But he said, you're the princess, so I can let you offer the lower penalty. And she said, absolutely not. If you're a leader, You should be an example to your people. So when Madigan and others, the Daley family, the Bush family, the Clinton family, when they commit crimes, Trump family, they should be held to a higher degree of responsibility.
Yes, absolutely.
That's why, I believe Madigan has done things he should not have done that you would go to jail for.
Absolutely.
But he wouldn't. And that's why I was against him. Now, I don't know that maybe the new guy's a criminal, too. I don't know. I don't know anything about him. So I'm not going
to
judge him.
Well, he's supposed to be a protege of Madigan.
Oh, then great.
He's supposed to be a protege.
It'll just be the trainee in there now.
Okay. All right, hold on there for a minute. Candace, do we have any other callers on the line? Did Sam Chapman ever come on?
Sam, caller 85008, number ending in 8508. Welcome to Live on Justice Chicago. Just say it. What can we do for you tonight? What would you like to say to the world? 8508, you're muted. Okay, moving right along. 4422.
8508, that's Candace. 8508 is David.
Oh, that's David. Okay.
Oh, okay.
All right, hi, David. Okay. Let's see. Well, who's 4422? Caller, 4422. You're live on the air. I think Doc is on the air. Doc, welcome to the show. 0094.
Hey, good evening, Janet. That's Dion.
How are you?
That's Dion.
Good. How are you? How's your week?
Okay, let me talk with Dion for a minute. How you doing, my brother?
I'm doing very well. How are you?
Okay, I'm glad you did a follow-up. I purposely didn't call you because it told me a lot about you.
Okay.
I didn't want to call and remind you. I wanted to see what you're really on the job, okay, because you're getting ready to head up a city that needs help, okay?
Yes, sir.
Riverdale needs help. You know, and I'm a big proponent of young people working. And so this young fella, I want him to introduce himself to you, Candace, and other guests on the show. It's Dion, and he has aspirations of being mayor of one of our suburban cities here in Riverdale. Dion, you want to tell us something?
Yes, yes, sir. Let me just first say I'm the former mayor of Riverdale. I was the mayor between 2009 and 2013.
Okay.
I am coming back again to run for the position because of the state of our community and also the outreach of businesses in our community, as well as, more importantly, the residents of our community asking me to step back into running. I ran and won in my early 40s for mayor, the first African-American male in this community. Did not get the second term, but there were various political games played during that process. And, you know, sometimes God sits you down so you can see the full picture.
Ain't no question.
So
How's your relationship with Zuccarelli?
I helped Zuccarelli become the supervisor. I was one of the young Democrats during the time when he was a trustee on the board there and decided he wanted to run. Actually was the field operation person for the entire Thorn Township area, supporting his candidacy to become the supervisor. Our relationship
What's the population of Riverdale?
15,500.
Okay, and the racial makeup?
Right now we're at a 89-90% African-American.
Okay, and the source of income?
Source of income, your highest income. You know, it varies. I really can't say, because you have some people here that make over $70,000 as individuals living in some of these homes. So, but I would say the average, if you wanted to go average, you're looking at $40,000 to $50,000.
Okay. Now, by you having this stage that we're on here, what is it that you're saying that you can do for Riverdale? Because if you're talking about back then, it wasn't looking like that. This is a new Riverdale that I'm seeing.
It's a definitely new Riverdale. Right now, transparency is very important. The lack of vision when it comes to economic development is not here. Some of the things that I put in place when I was the mayor, I'm seeing deteriorate as far as, you know, our streets. Certain portions of our communities are really dying out. I mean, it's the boarded up homes on every street. There's 2 to 3 homes on the block that that has no one living in. So there's a lot of big, I mean, you go down our business corridors, we have boarded up businesses in our community. So it's time for a change, and it's time to bring, you know, some vision to what we're trying to accomplish. High taxes, low property values. Everybody on this phone can understand that.
Now, who's the congresswoman out there?
Robin Kelly is our congresswoman.
Robin Kelly. That's another story.
Yeah,
so now I'm asking again, what would be the major industry that you want to bring to that area if you were elected? What is it that you think could happen for it?
TSX, along the rail, we have several major businesses that have left this community that people raised their children, sent them to college. Some of those people gone on to get master's degrees. Those businesses are now just empty warehouses. We need to get that viable and going again. The intermodal, it's extremely important, and we can be a part of that. Mm-hmm. So that would be something I would focus on, major industry. Because our community is a unique community. We're a unique community. We're not a community that everyone's just going to turn into and come to, so it has to be an attraction. And you have to have the vision for that. And I believe that I'm that person that happens.
Okay. Now, if we will be able to help you, how could we possibly help you in your election and your vision?
Well, right now, I mean, this is a help. I wanted to just say I appreciate being on your show. Well, secondly, just, you know, if you know individuals in our community that you can, you know, just let them know, vote green. That's what's important right now. We're also trying to raise funds. We're doing okay, but we can always do better. And so in that area, we can. But more so, if you know business people that are looking to move into the South Suburban Corridor, we have a vision plan ready for them, and I'd love to talk with you.
Okay, Ed, let me ask you something. You're in the real estate business. Would you invest in a city like Riverdale?
It depends if it fits my needs. I'm not gonna, you know, like right now I'm in the northwest side because of where my business is located. I got to be near 294, so I'm kind of stuck.
Mm-hmm.
But
mm-hmm.
as a real estate broker, I can't say what areas are good or bad. I can't make an opinion about an area. I'm not allowed to.
Mm-hmm.
It's against the law.
Okay.
It'd be considered something called steering. You know, is this neighborhood not fit for a black person, or is this neighborhood where white people shouldn't live? I can't do that. So, but
is that coming like redlining?
Redlining.
Oh, redlining is the same thing. It's just kind of the reverse. One is taking you, I mean, leading you in a direction, and one is leading you away from a direction.
Wait,
you can't do
okay.
either. If you're in the business, I can get an ethics complaint. I could even be to have my license taken. Right now I don't recommend, even though I'm in real estate, I will tell my clients, and I do tell my clients right now, even buying clients who I can make money on, I tell them I do not recommend people even buy anything right now. Anything.
So you
anywhere.
You say this is not
because
a buyer's market.
The market is about ready to collapse. It will be a buyer market. It'll be a buyer market in a couple of years.
In a couple of years?
It's going to
take that long?
Yes. We're already seeing foreclosures flying up again. Surprise. I've been predicting this for a while. We're going to have, like, a major collapse.
We're so fortunate to be able to have you on the show to talk to you about that. Yeah, let me ask you something. What happened with the Piatone Airport? What happened to that?
Well, you know, obviously, you know, that was Congressman Jackson's baby, and then it was inherited by Congresswoman Robin Kelly. At this point, I did attend several of those meetings. I was a part of that, but it has been real, real low-key. It has, I mean, there's people still talking about it and trying to initiate it and get it back going. I'm one of those individuals. But it's kind of on a mute button right now. I haven't heard much.
And
I think it's a driving engine that we definitely, as mayors of South Suburban, area should definitely keep at the pulse of our times and just keep trying to push it, because for economic development and jobs, it's going to be tremendous.
Okay. Well, let me say this here. At one time, the South Suburban Mayors had a heck of a little old group together. Are you all still rolling together like that, moving as a unit?
Many of us are still connected, and they still meet, but not as much as they should. And that's one of the things I'm looking forward to, because I was one of the first people who decided that this is something we needed to do, along with a few other mayors. And we were doing great. Like you said, it was a great group of us, and there's still some of us together. We're going to get it back going.
Mm-hmm. Well, hey, man, I appreciate you coming on. You know, I appreciate you coming on. And if something you want to say to us in particular before you get out of here?
Listen, very interesting conversation. Just keep me in your prayers. Keep Riverdale in your prayers, because I'm looking forward to the win on February 23rd and look forward to getting back on this line to tell you some of the things we're going to be doing for this community. So I appreciate you having me on tonight.
Okay, well, you're always going to have access to our radio show, so we'll talk some more. Thank you so much. Mm-hmm.
Good luck.
All right.
Thank you.
All right. Dave, let's go back to Dave. So, again, we're going to talk about this Madigan situation. So where do we go from here in Springfield?
Well, you know, like you mentioned, we have the new guy coming in, and I know probably just a sliver more than Ed does. I read a little bit about this guy. It's always good to see political offices in this country break the racial barrier. It's always good, for sure. But that being said, you know, if he's just going to be another Madigan, I don't know if that's a great thing or not. But we'll see. Like you said, I read that same thing, that exact phrase. He's a Madigan protege. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, we'll see how that turns out in the future. But you know, so goes Illinois. So I wish the best for him. I hope he's a good person. I hope he's a good politician and a good Speaker of the House. I really do. Time will tell. That's all I have to say.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, hope for the best, prepare for the worst. You know, it's just, I mean, even if he's a Madigan protege, doesn't mean that he has all the same connections and everything. He may not be as easy to, you know, pull influential strings as Madigan, because he isn't Madigan. He could be a Madigan protege, but he's not Madigan. So, you know, I don't want to take nothing away from him. Let's see what he does. You know, someone's going to be the Speaker of the House. Why not him? Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter, you know.
Okay. Well, let me ask you this here. With this pandemic situation, how has that affected you as a realtor?
Well, it's business. It has slowed down business, but only in the way that a lot of people have been, you know, we have to have, you know, don't touch certain things, wear a mask when you're going into places. Sometimes people even forget their masks. I mean, it's a hassle. I think it's a lot of paranoia, because I believe a lot of the numbers are manipulated. Even Ngozi, the director of the Illinois Department of Public Health, came on TV, and it's recorded. Anybody can see it if they want to. All you got to do is Google it. And she literally said to elderly people in hospice or in retirement homes who we knew had 2 weeks to live from a disease, you know, like heart condition or, diabetes or whatever. And
where you're going with that. Why? What was that, more money or something? It's always about the money.
Well, no. It's a number of things. Money is one thing. CARES Act money. You got 16 or 18 grand if your person died of COVID-19. You got 36, I believe it was, if they went on a ventilator. So, yes, there is money involved, too. But when I say this, July, all you got to do is Google July 2017 Pentagon report on collapse. The Pentagon, not some conspiracy theory whack job, but the Pentagon did a study and said that we are heading towards collapse. Now, if you knew Now, you know who's responsible for the collapse? The politicians, because they gave the country away to big businessmen and to multinational corporations and to banks and blah, blah, blah. So we know they did it, but they would like to blame something else. So now along comes COVID. Oh, it's because of COVID we got to shut down, and it's because of COVID our economy's being wrecked, and now we can blame COVID instead of blaming them. So it's COVID as a scapegoat.
That's a diversion.
Right. Now they jacked up the numbers by mixing the flu and pneumonia deaths and mixing the comorbidity deaths. They mixed them all in. And then on top of that, they, you know, lied in a few more and made up some stuff. But it all comes down to, now go back. I said, we're heading towards collapse. When a country collapses, what does it usually do? Goes under martial law.
Martial law.
Now, if we know we're going to collapse, so we know we're eventually we're going to go into martial law, and now we have COVID here, why not do a little test run?
Now, let me ask you something. You think Biden is strong enough to declare martial law? Or are you saying Trump going to do this before we get out of here?
No, I'm saying the COVID-19 policies are a test run for martial law.
Okay, I hear you.
It's a test run just to see how we're going to behave.
Yeah, how are we going to do?
Where our weak spots are and where maybe the country needs to put a little more effort in certain areas. It's that slick.
Okay, now
I mean,
if I was a politician,
I'd want to do that. Sorry.
Okay, what about this G5 or this, however they say it? The 5G. What about the 5G or G5?
I don't have any knowledge on that. I mean, I know that there's some opinion that, well, and I know in the military, I was an electrician and I did electricity and electronics. That was that was one of my MOSs, one of my codes. And I know that with electric current, it can be, especially AC current and different types of currents, can be disruptive to the human body. So is it, and we know this, they used Russian cosmonauts used magnets to get the DC current around their body to make up for the AC current that was disrupting their body, you know, and the lack of being away from near the Earth's magnetic poles. So, I mean, yes, can 5G have some negative stuff to it? Yes, it could, but I don't know what the intensity is of that, and I wouldn't even go into that without further study, and I'm not. Like everybody, a lot of people think because I have some extreme views on some things that I'm one of those kind of flaky conspiracy theory guys. I'm not. Otherwise, the Earth is flat. Let's 5G. Yeah, no, I'm not into all that stuff.
Okay, well, let me ask you this: as a white guy, are you going to take the vaccine?
I would try to avoid it.
If you can, you would avoid it.
There's reasons. I posted on Facebook, for example, and I tell my reasons to anybody. I want to be challenged. First off, they already said the vaccine does not prevent you from getting COVID-19. Secondly, if you get COVID-19 after you took the vaccine, it will not prevent you from transmitting it to someone else. Third, we still must have all COVID-19 policies in effect after taking the vaccine. In other words, the masking, the social distancing. Wait, we do? Even after you take the vaccine? Yep. And there are known adverse effects to it. Lots. Finally, they have immunity from prosecution. Why do you need immunity from prosecution if you have such a good product and it's ready for?
98%. Okay. Well, listen, Ed, we're going to holler at you in a minute. We're going to take a break and give our sponsor a situation. Then we're going to talk about this Trust Me Vodka and the company that we're involved with. So, Candace, let's take a commercial break. And listen, you guys.
My journey has been empowering and liberating. That is why I use Moisture Curl. Moisture Curl gives my curls the intensity they were born for. Moisture Curl is made with all-natural plant butters and essential organic oils. Whether you have coily or curly hair, Moisture Curl has the products to clean, condition, hydrate, and define your natural hair. Get Moisture Curl today and embrace your natural hair with plant-powered moisture for healthier hair. Available at moisturecurl.com.
Thank
Somebody knocking at the door?
Yeah, peeping in my window. Yeah, this is your co-host. This is Candace. I kind of wanted to talk with Doc and see if he can let us know what these statistics are, the numbers are in Chicago, and when we turn on, you think, the Mayor Lightfoot would reopen the bars and eateries. Doc, are you still there?
Yes, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yeah, okay, Doc. Go ahead.
Okay, good evening. How's everyone doing?
Okay, everything's fine, Doc. How are you?
I'm fantastic. Mm-hmm. All right, mm-hmm. But I'm going to do my usual COVID update. In Illinois,
okay,
we got 1 million cases, 20,000 deaths. As of yesterday, we had 4,162 new cases with 29 deaths, and our positivity rate was 7.1. And you get this positivity rate by the total number of positive tests divided by the total number of tests taken. Also, in hospitals, as of yesterday, as of last night, we had 3,408 people that were hospitalized with COVID. 720 of those patients were in the intensive care unit, and 387 of those were on ventilators. As I think Ed spoke, I don't know if that's Ed or Dave, was talking about the price at $36,000 for a ventilator. Was that Ed or Dave?
That was Ed.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, that's those are the numbers. Now, let me give you the U.S. numbers, and then I'm going to give you the worldwide numbers. In terms of the United States, we got 23.9 million total cases and 397,000 deaths in the United States. Worldwide, we have 94 million total cases. Of those 94 million, we have 52 million that have recovered, and we got 2.03 million deaths as a whole worldwide.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Those are interesting points that Ed brought up about the vaccine. But I guess as a pharmacist, if you look at the number of people that are dying, we're averaging about 4,000 people dying a day. And in California, one out of three, according to the pharmaceutical journal that I was reading yesterday, one out of three people have COVID. So we're in a situation where, although the vaccine, you know, it was brought on very quickly, but that's due to science, we're in a situation where we're going to either live or die. So we have to get people to buy into the vaccine because we're dying. You know, we're not just getting sick and recovering from that. We have a tremendous amount of people that are dying, you know, worldwide. So the only way we can begin to even try to eradicate or get a handle on this virus is to buy into the vaccines.
Okay. Okay. Well, let me ask you this here, Doc. Running nightclubs for 40 years, every night at 12 o'clock, I was somewhere in a nightclub, okay? And now, when they shut our clubs down, okay, it's going to be 2 months, it's going to be 3 months, it's going to be 6 months. It's been almost a year. That has got to be playing on my psyche that I'm bound in my house. I'm not out socializing with anybody or anything of that nature. Is there an increase of mental illness due to this fact that these people are confined in home? And if so, is there a medicine? Is there a tea that we can take to kind of take away the anxieties of us being locked in like this?
Well, yes, of course. It's definitely having a negative effect on society as a whole because as human beings, we're used to socializing, hugging, kissing, you know, embracing, and those things that are natural that we can't do now is definitely causing a lot of stress, especially for people who already had mental challenges. You know, the organizations that were helping those people are not open, and they're not able to go and see those patients. I mean, that's a hands-on kind of thing. That's not something mm-hmm. that you can do virtually. It's deal with people who have issues in terms of their mental state. They need to be seen and dealt with on an individual, up close and personal level, and that can't be done right now because of the COVID.
Okay.
In terms of medicine, there's no one particular medicine, but, I mean, I would say relaxation, yoga. You know, while we're in the house, for me personally, what I've been trying to do is do things that I've always wanted to do but never had time. You know, since I've been 18 years old, I've been working, and this is the first time that I can ever remember in our history since I've been alive where you got free time now to do things. So maybe, you know, take up a new hobby. Just do things to take your mind off just being stressed about this virus, because this is an ongoing thing, and it's going to be a while. That we're talking about, they initially said we were only going to be under this for a few months and then it would go away, you know, when it got hot. We know that didn't happen. And so based on the projections, we're talking about a year at least before we can get anywhere near normalcy, because I'm sure y'all heard of the term herd immunity, also called community immunity, which means that if you take 10 people and they get vaccinated, those other three people, for whatever reason, they might not ethically or not trust the government, whatever, they don't get vaccinated. At least 7 out of 10 people are vaccinated. So that will try to curb the virus. So right now in Illinois, we've had 1 million doses delivered by the federal government, but only 23,000 of those actually have been administered, because you have people on the front line like nurses and doctors. So we only have 42%. So in order to get herd immunity, which will help us get back to normalcy, we need at least 70% of the population to get immunized. And we're only at 42 in Illinois. And worldwide, it's lower than that. And people are afraid, because I know as African Americans, you go back to the Tuskegee experiment where we were given syphilis. So people don't trust the government. You know, and the speed at which the vaccine came to pass seems fast, but technology is moving at a very, very rapid rate. Actually, faster, I think Dave or Ed mentioned that, is zooming. Technology is what used to take you 5 or 10 years to discover in medicine, you can discover that in 6 months now because of technology.
Okay.
So
Dave, let me go ahead, Doc.
No, we have to get people to buy in. In addition to that, even like Ed was saying, when you get the vaccine, you can still, you know, spread it. So there's a lot of things that are unknown. This is all very new. It's all very fluid, and it's happening on a daily basis. Information, discoveries, side effects. And like I said, I know about 15 to 20 people that have gotten vaccinated in the healthcare field. And out of those, only about 3 or 4 people, the side effects they had, they felt a little bit tired for 1 or 2 days. Other than that, none of those people that I've talked to have gotten sick or had to miss work or, you know, felt any kind of ill thing. And that's all we know right now, because these tests are just, this data is coming out as we give out the vaccine.
Okay. Dave, let me go to you. Now, you say you have a talk show?
Yes, sir.
Okay, now what do you talk about on your show?
Talk about lots of things. Talk about COVID quite a bit. Last year being the last year, I had a lot of local politicians on. I had some national politicians on. I had Joe Jorgensen and Spike Cohen, presidential candidate for the Libertarian Party, on a couple times. Agriculture. We talk about lots of stuff. Lots of stuff.
Okay, now let me ask you this. You also a bartender?
Currently, I am employed. I mean, I'm in furlough right now, but yeah, I'm employed at 2 bars, and I also do horticulture as well.
Okay. Now, have we had any kind of conversation in regards to our sponsor, which is Trust Me Vodka?
No.
And Doc, you can weigh in on this. Once I found out I was a diabetic, and I think 50% of the black population is diabetic, when I walked in a nightclub, the barmaid automatically knew to make me a rum and coke. That was like drinking a tall glass of sugar, okay? So once I found out I was a diabetic, I got a book and I read up on it. The first thing they said, do not drink colored pop and do not drink colored alcohol. So I started drinking gin, vodka, then finally I just went on to switch to champagne. But my thing here is that this Trust Me Vodka, which is a sponsor of my radio show here, is organic. And it doesn't have any sugar in it. So, Doc, tell me, how does that work with that, with it being alcohol?
Okay. Well, your first point when you were talking about where you read that you shouldn't consume dark liquor, the reason that is because dark liquor hasn't been distilled, which means it has to be filtered. So your liver is the one that has to take the coloring and all the additives that's in dark liquor. Your liver has to process that. So over time, mm-hmm. your liver begins to wear out from doing that filtration process. Where if you drink mm-hmm. white liquor, like I do, which is gin, it's already been distilled, so it's not that hard for your liver to process the alcohol okay. from that.
Just that simple. But let me say something else about Trust Me Vodka. Okay, this vodka is not in the Midwest. We're getting ready to open up a new club here, and hopefully next month. And Trust Me Vodka is coming in to give a great promotional party for us. Party favorite. We're going to be showing all the different flavors of Trust Me Vodka. But this is what I want you to trust me on. About 40 years ago, I was in the 50-yard line, one of our most popular nightclubs. And a guy came in there. His name was Winslow Jeffries. He was a graduate of Southern University. He knew me when I was a little guy, but he knew I was real popular at the time. And he came in there and he said, Cliff, I know you know everybody in the world, man. He said, there's a new thing coming, and I know of anybody that can get the word out on it is you. And he said, I want you to be in on it because these guys have got me in on it. He was living in New Mexico. And he said, it's going to be the thing of the future. Okay, it's going to be the thing of the future. And he said, man, if you hook them up, man, you're going to make all the money in the world. I have not seen Winslow, and maybe a year after that I had seen him. But the thing that he brought to me that he said was going to be the thing of the future, cash station. Winslow Jeffries is his name. He bought the first cash station to the city of Chicago. He brought it there, the 75th at Wabash, at the Walgreens right there. That was the first one they ever had in the city. And I went to all these black businessmen that I knew that were millionaires. And then at the time, I was going with a young lady who lived in a high-rise on the north side. And she would get up early in the morning because she had to run to the bank. She had to run to the bank to get some money out to give her son some money for school. And I said, wow, by it being an ATM machine, why don't we just put one right down in the lobby where her building has a guard? And every time I see an ATM machine, my heart flutter. Because none of these businessmen that I talk to are investing in those, and you see them everywhere today. But Winslow Jeffries was his name, and he's the first one to ever bring ATM machines to Chicago. And the reason why I'm telling this story, because Trust Me Vodka, I'm going to say 50% of black people are diabetic, okay? I got 40 years in this nightclub business. Right now I have access to 14, 15 nightclubs that I have my hands on as we speak due to who I work for. That when we open up, I'm going to have all these nightclub owners there and giving them samples of Trust Me Vodka. But the point I'm trying to bring here to my people by telling that ATM story, buy and invest in Trust Me Vodka. Right now, invest in that company because it's going to blow right out the water. And you got a chance to get in on the ground floor. It's nowhere in Illinois per se. So when I bring it here, it's going to be one of the most popular drinks on the south side. Invest in that. If you believe in me, if you believe in yourself, and I ain't talking about a whole lot of money. Just like a month ago, I was talking to everybody about, man, buy Bitcoin. I didn't know what Bitcoin was. And then this week it tripled in value. Nobody was listening. It tripled in value. Damn. So all I'm right. just saying, you get to a certain age and stage where you don't work for your money. Your money works for you. So I'm just saying that this Trust Me Vodka is going to be a big seller. I'm going to work around the clock for it. I got other people in other states are waiting on me to bring it to them so they can sell it. And we're going to get paid with that. And every time you go to the nightclub now, instead of you saying, give me a vodka and orange, you say, give me a Trust Me Vodka because you're paying yourself. You're paying yourself. Candace, what you got to say, baby? You've been quiet all night. What you got to say?
I'm listening. I mean, I'm excited about Trust Me Vodka coming in. I also want everyone to go ahead and check out my novel, Dreamland, the novel. It's for sale. You can buy it. E-book. You can also buy loosely books. And it's dreamthenovel.com. We are still working with people sailing. over it, and it's a great story. So I want you guys to keep an eye out for that and really support it. You can go ahead and come and buy it. Secondly, the Trust Me Vodka, I would like to see David come out and be a part of the event. And also, David, I wanted you to tell the listeners about your guests that you have coming on your show on Tuesday. I think it will be a good show for our listeners to tune in and listen to.
Okay, real set. Thanks for bringing that up. That's actually a good point. And after I say this, guys, I do apologize, but I got to take off. And I want to thank you for having me on the show. It's very cool. But so, yes, this Tuesday, 98.3 FM, WRLR, the voice of Lake County. The antenna is not going to reach you guys anywhere outside of Lake County, just so you know. So you'd have to probably go on the website or tune in. Again, it's WRLR, the voice of Lake County. I have Clyde McLemore coming on 5 to 6 p.m. this Tuesday. He is the founder of the Lake County chapter of the Black Lives Matter. I'm very excited about having him on. And then 6 to 7 p.m., I'll have Eric Reinhardt, who's the newly elected Lake County State's Attorney, who's going to come on and talk about the currently passed police reform bill in Illinois, which is a very exciting step forward, too, holding cops accountable for what they do and stuff like that. And this is a very timely bill. So it's a very, very good show. I'm very excited about it. I'm a big supporter of BLM and the new reform bill. So I'm very excited to have both these gentlemen on. That being said, thank you very much for having me on the show. I do got to take
You're
off.
Welcome,
I wish you all
thank
a good
you.
Evening.
Yeah, enjoy your night.
All
okay.
Right,
you guys, have a good week. Okay, Ed,
yes.
What do you want to leave us with, my friend?
I wanted to say something else, honestly, about the protesting, all the demonstrations that are planned during the inauguration. And, I mean, I was brought to my attention there are one, there's a reparations demonstration led by the Green Party and the National Black Caucus. And that's on the same day, and that's at the Black Lives Matter Plaza in Washington, D.C. And there's also a reparations march and demonstration not too far from that location as well. I just want everyone to stay safe, because I'm really concerned about everyone's safety. It just doesn't make sense to me to have these demonstrations, although I do support it, and I am part of the organizer of the reparations demonstration that the Green Party, you're part of the conversation in the work group. However, you know, we're going to have a lot of the MAGA Trump protesters during the same day out there. And to have the Black Lives Matter and then the MAGA Trump protesters and the Proud Boys on the ground at the same time, I just think we need to reconsider strategically about putting our people in possible harm's way. So if anyone is listening to the call, and if you're in the D.C. area and you are planning on attending any of these protests that I mentioned, please reach out to your local peace team organization and structure some type of unarmed civilian protection, a group of people on the ground. If you need any escorts, if you have any main speakers that you know of that need escorts, please feel free to reach out to me at 1-800-378-8119, extension 808. We can go ahead and have them escorted and to their safe point where they have to go. So that's just what I have to say on that. Our people, everyone needs to be safe. We all have the right to protest. You know, the Trump MAGA people have the right to protest, but they do not. We do not have the right to cause harm. And what we saw last week at the Capitol is unprecedented. It was alarming. So I just wanted everyone to keep in mind. And that's it.
Well, let me close out by, first of all, thanking both of these gentlemen for their insight, along with Dion coming on board, letting us know about what's going on in Riverdale and how we can help him. You know, my show... It's not an entertainment show. My show is a conversational show. You know, if I know something and you know something, let's tell somebody about it, because somebody might can use what we're talking about. So, again, Dave and Ed, I want to thank a whole lot for you guys coming on board and sharing your background and knowledge like that. And I hope that, you know, we continue to, you know, just conversate with one another and find out what the perspective is on everything. So with that, I'm going to bid you guys adieu, and I really appreciate you, huh?
Thank you, everyone, to all our guests, Dion, Ed, and David, and Doc, and Clifton. Another wonderful show, Action to National Artists, Inc. You've been informed. Tune in next week, same time, same place, and just say it on Justice Chicago.
Hey, I love you. Good night.
At this time, I have the honor to present to you the moral leader of our nation. I have the pleasure to present to you Dr. Martin Luther King, Jr. I am happy to join with you today in what will go down in history as the greatest demonstration for freedom in the history of our nation. Five score years ago, a great American in whose symbolic shadow we stand today signed the Emancipation Proclamation. This momentous decree came as a great beacon light of hope to millions of Negro slaves who had been seared in the flames of withering injustice. It came as a joyous daybreak to end the long night of their captivity. But 100 years later, the Negro still is not free. 100 years later, the life of the Negro is still sadly crippled by the manacles of segregation and the chains of discrimination. 100 years later, the Negro lives on a lonely island of poverty in the midst of a vast ocean of material prosperity. 100 years later, the Negro is still languished in the corners of American society and finds himself in exile in his own land. And so we've come here today dramatize a shameful condition. In a sense, we've come to our nation's capital to cash a check. When the architects of our republic wrote the magnificent words of the Constitution and the Declaration of Independence, they were signing a promissory note to which every American was to fall heir. This note was a promise that all men, yes, black men as well as white men, would be guaranteed the unalienable rights of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. It is obvious today that America has defaulted on this promissory note insofar as her citizens of color are concerned. Instead of honoring this sacred obligation, America has given the Negro people a bad check, a check which has come back marked insufficient funds. But we refuse to believe that the Bank of Justice is bankrupt. We refuse to believe that there are insufficient funds in the great vaults of opportunity of this nation. So we've come to cash this check, a check that will give us upon demand the riches of freedom and the security of justice. We have also come to this hallowed spot to remind America of the fierce urgency of now. This is no time to engage in the luxury of cooling off or to take the tranquilizing drug of gradualism. Now is the time to make real the promises of democracy. Now is the time to rise from the dark and desolate valley of segregation to the sunlit path of racial justice. Now is the time to lift our nation from the quicksands of racial injustice to the solid rock of brotherhood. Now is the time to make justice a reality for all of God's children. It would be fatal for the nation to overlook the urgency of the moment. This sweltering summer of the Negro's legitimate discontent will not pass until there is an invigorating autumn of freedom and equality. 1963 is not an end, but a beginning. Those who hope that the Negro needed to blow off steam and will now be content will have a rude awakening if the nation returns to business as usual. There will be neither rest nor tranquility in America until the Negro is granted his citizenship rights. The whirlwinds of revolt will continue to shake the foundations of our nation until the bright day of justice emerges. But that is something that I must say to my people who stand on the warm threshold which leads into the palace of justice. In the process of gaining our rightful place, we must not be guilty of wrongful deeds. Let us not seek to satisfy our thirst for freedom by drinking from the cup of bitterness and hatred. We must forever conduct our struggle on the high plane of dignity and discipline. We must not allow our creative protests to degenerate into physical violence. Again and again, we must rise to the majestic heights of meeting physical force with soul force. And the marvelous new militancy which has engulfed the Negro community must not lead us to a distrust of all white people. For many of our white brothers, as evidenced by their presence here today, have come to realize that their destiny is tied up with our destiny. And And they have come to realize that their freedom is inextricably bound to our freedom. We cannot walk alone. And as we walk, we must make the pledge that we shall always march ahead. We cannot turn back. There are those who are asking the devotees of civil rights, when will you be satisfied?
I'm bringing you on my local show this Thursday.
We can never be satisfied as long as the Negro is the victim of the unspeakable horrors of police brutality. We can never be satisfied. As long as our bodies heavy with the fatigue of travel cannot gain lodging in the motels of the highways and the hotels of the cities. We cannot be satisfied as long as the Negro's basic mobility is from a smaller ghetto to a larger one. We can never be satisfied as long as our children are stripped of their selfhood and robbed of their dignity by signs stating for whites only. We cannot be satisfied as long as a Negro in Mississippi cannot vote and a Negro in New York believes he has nothing for which to vote. No, no, we are not satisfied, and we will not be satisfied until justice rolls down like waters and righteousness like a mighty stream. I am not unmindful that some of you have come here out of great trials and tribulations. Some of you have come fresh from narrow jail cells. Some of you have come from areas where your quest for freedom left you battered by the storms of persecution and staggered by the winds of police brutality. You have been the veterans of creative suffering. Continue to work with the faith that unearned suffering is redemption. Go back to Mississippi. Go back to Alabama. Go back to South Carolina. Go back to Georgia. Go back to Louisiana. Go back to the slums and ghettos of our northern cities. Knowing that somehow this situation can and will be changed, let us not wallow in the valley of despair. I say to you today, my friend, so even though we face the difficulties of today and tomorrow, I still have a dream. It is a dream deeply rooted in the American dream. I have a dream that one day this nation will rise up and live out the true meaning of its creed. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal. I have a dream that one day on the red hills of Georgia, the sons of former slaves and the sons of former slave owners will be able to sit down together at the table of brotherhood. I have a dream that one day, even the state of Mississippi, a state sweltering with the heat of injustice, sweltering with the heat of oppression, will be transformed into an oasis of freedom and justice. I have a dream that my four little children will one day live in a nation where they will not be judged by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character. I have a dream today. ever dream that one day down in Alabama with its vicious racist, with its governor having his lips dripping with the words of interposition and nullification. One day right there in Alabama, little black boys and black girls will be able to join hands with little white boys and white girls as sisters and brothers. I have a dream today. I have a dream that one day every valley shall be exalted, and every hill and mountain shall be made low, the rough places will be made plain, and the crooked places will be made straight, and the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together. This is our hope. This is the faith that I go back to the South with. With this faith, we will be able to hew out of the mountain of despair a stone of hope. With this faith, we will be able to transform the jangling discords of our nation into a beautiful symphony of brotherhood. With this faith, we will be able to work together, to pray together, to struggle together, to go to jail together, to stand up for freedom together, knowing that we will be free one day. This will be the day. This will be the day when all of God's children will be able to sing with new meaning, "My country, tears of thee. Sweet land of liberty, of thee I sing. Land where my fathers died, land of the pilgrim's pride. From every mountainside, let freedom ring. And if America is to be a great nation, this must become true. And so let freedom ring from the prodigious hilltops of New Hampshire. Let freedom ring from the mighty mountains of New York. Let freedom ring from the heightening Alleghenies of Pennsylvania. Let freedom ring from the snow-capped Rockies of Colorado. Let freedom ring from the curvaceous slopes of California. But not only that, let freedom ring from Stone Mountain of Georgia. Let freedom ring from Lookout Mountain of Tennessee. Let freedom ring from every hill and molehill of Mississippi, from every mountainside. Let freedom ring, and when this happens, and when we allow freedom ring, when we let it ring from every village and every hamlet, from every state and every city, we will be able to speed up that day when all of God's children, black men and white men, Jews and Gentiles, Protestants and Catholics, will be able to join hands and sing in the words of the old Negro spiritual, "Free at last, free at last. Thank God Almighty, we are free at last."
Hey, what's happening?
Wake up! It's time for Just Chicago's Neighborhood Talk with Clifton Pierce, a Canon Media and Axe Entertainment Artists, Inc. production.